So there's a global pandemic. A virus is sweeping across our world. Still. And society has changed. Why is this happening? Is somebody going to do something about it? Is 2021 really going to be better than 2020? If you haven't considered these questions yet, you're about to. And we'll be your guides. Your personal Sherpas on this journey, this descent into chaos. Thank you for joining us on Staring at Goats.
Thank you, Travis. I've always wanted to be a Sherpa, except I don't like the cold or going really high and don't have any interest in dying. But thanks for making us that. I guess we would say that the journey into COVID land is much like a journey to the top of Everest. A lot of people make it. Some people don't. So it's not that bad of an analogy. Hey, everybody. I'm your host, Steven, joined as always by other host Jacob and other host Travis. TV's Travis.
Hello.
For those playing the home game. And we're here at the final episode of the year. That's right. This is the last episode of 2020. We are chucking one more MP3 into the dumpster fire that this year has been, and hoping to God that we can finally put it out with 2021. But as we all know, time is merely a human construct meant to try to make sense of our reality. And the calendar doesn't really give a flip what's actually going on in the world when we turn it. So, you know, best of luck to everyone in their new goals. Let's try again. If you need a reboot, now's a good time to do it. Humans like soft reboots, and a calendar flip's a good way to get a reboot done. I rebooted, got me a new journal to write in. Started it with, this year was a tire fire, and we're going to do this again.
Is that your resolution this year, is to try to journal more?
I journal. You wouldn't believe how often I journaled in my previous one till about March when nothing happened anymore. So I'm going to try.
Once you stopped going outside.
Yeah, once it all journal. Got real, I kind of got, once I started documenting every thought in a podcast 2 days a week, I was like, maybe paper's stupid and I don't need to do it anymore. But no, I do. But anyways, we're here to try to sum up what happened this year. You can consider this our lame attempt at the Oscars, for the COVID Oscars, if there was any. The Covies, as it were.
The Covey Awards.
The Covey Awards.
The Covey Awards. We're going to try to share at least a few things. Had I thought of that idea sooner, we could have some even more fun categories. But I didn't. There's always next week. So, you know, hang in there. But anyway, we can get right into it with the roundtable. Jacob, being as you are the only person, you were the only person until about 2 minutes ago that wrote anything into the roundtable. Why don't you share with us your thoughts first?
Well, do we want to share? How about this? I'll tell you where I'm at this week, because I feel like a lot of things happened this week. It was Christmas. Had a great time on Christmas Day. That was a lot of fun. So that was big. I hope everybody had a great Christmas. I got a PlayStation 5 today.
Yes.
And I'm hooking it up and I want to go play Cyberpunk on the PlayStation 5 right now. So we got to hurry up and finish the show so I can get lost in Cyberpunk world.
Half hour power. We got this.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, I'm in a pretty good place. I listened every week. Our governor, with the Department of Health and Human Services, they do an update, a COVID update. So I was able to listen to that today, and I think it was from 2 to 3. So I just put on my headphones and I was working outside. So I just listened while I was working. Unbelievably good information. He always provides really good information. And so does Mandy Cohen, the director of the Department of Health and Human Services. So that was always fun to listen to. So I was able to kind of hear their new updated distribution plan of the vaccines and what they anticipate and where vaccines are going and who's on lists and blah, 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 blah. So that was really nice to see. It looks like actually the general public is going to be vaccinated here in North Carolina, probably starting a little bit earlier than what we had thought. So that's always positive. I mean, I was thinking the end of summer, but it looks like we could potentially start vaccinating general population as early as late April, early May, if the number of vaccines still come in at the rate that they're currently coming in from Moderna and Pfizer. So that's good. So I feel very positive about that. I mean, there's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm hoping Jack Nuggets out there don't take that as a license to go do whatever the hell they want to do, because I've got a wife that's about to go postal on everybody. I feel like she's been this roller coaster of crazy relative to COVID, because at one moment she's very apathetic, and at another moment she's just rage queen, and at another moment she's like, you know, I think if we can all just get better and blah blah blah. And right now, I think she's back to rage. I think she keeps going back to the statement, we're 8 weeks away from ending this, if everybody just looks out for their neighbor. And I think she's really struggling, because she sees the effects on family members that haven't left their houses, and people who spent Christmas by themselves, and kids who haven't played with other kids ever. I mean, there are things that are really awful that we're experiencing right now. And I wish that everybody would experience them in the same way, so that maybe we would make better decisions overall as a general population. But I think that's what I'm dealing with. I've got a wife who's about to go absolutely mental on some folks. So
hell hath no fury like Smashy when she's angry. That's that. I'm pretty sure there's a direct line, like a beam of hate from the depths of hell through her and into the world. Summon it. Yeah, she can summon it. Like if you've ever played Doom, she's the Doom Slayer, like mixed with some of those demons that just want to bite your face off. She says in the chat, may their anuses catch fire and rot off. If she was a necromancer or some sort of mage, she would make that a curse that could happen. They would rot off their flaming anuses. The Flaming Anuses. I played with them back in 1985. On their Colon Blow tour.
Pumpkins cover band?
the Flaming Anuses. Yeah. They opened for Malignant Corporate Overlords long
ago. No. Flaming Anuses was a Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, there band. It is. Sorry. Yeah. Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's much better.
That's it. I'm glad you're in a good place. I'm tickled to death for your PS5. You were after that you were happy about getting that thing, and I'm excited for you because may Cyberpunk load faster so deaths aren't as painful.
Yes, PlayStation 4 Cyberpunk reloads are so slow, but PlayStation 5 it's like 10 seconds. It's glorious.
Oh, SSDs, baby, that's the future.
That is.
All right, it's the present, actually. It's like the 4 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, whatever. It's standard now. Anyway, is that all you got for us, Jacob? That's where your feelings. That's
it. Oh, and by the way, Ace said Duke sucks. She still gets to do that because her coach, the Pitts coach, came down with COVID and had to cancel the game. So I have to live with Duke sucks for the next year. I was so looking forward. Dude, I was so looking forward to Duke beating Pitt, because then I'd get a reprieve, a 3 month reprieve.
Yep. Not today. Travis, how are you coming into the end of the year? You feeling all right?
I'm limping into the end of the year, but we've made it to the end of the year. So anyone can walk away from, as Launchpad McQuack used to say, is a win in my book. Because this has definitely been a plane into the side of a mountain type of a year. But, you know, it's funny. It's been both a horrendous year, and yet a lot of things have gone well for me. So I shouldn't complain too much. But I feel bad for the people that haven't had things go well. I feel bad hearing about friends of mine that have lost their jobs, did get laid off. I have a friend right now who is in the middle of recovering from COVID, and it shut her down for 5 days. She's barely been able to move. She's lost 5 pounds in the last week, mostly because she's sleeping through meals, and just has had no energy. So, you know, I'm feeling bad for stuff like that. I went through several days of worried that I had caught it, and luckily dodged that one. So It's been a hell of a year, but I'm coming out of it relatively unscathed. So, yeah. Hoping 2021 gets to, you know, pick back up. There was a lot of things in 2020 that either didn't happen or were indefinitely postponed that I'm hoping I can kind of resurrect and maybe get back to. And I want to take the things that I did do in 2020 and the things that I did focus on and continue them.
Yeah.
That was a big thing for me this year, was spending a lot of time kind of redoubling my efforts in show productions, in writing, in kind of focusing on the things that I could control, that I could do while I was stuck at home. And I just want to take that and keep running with it.
So yeah, man. That's a good motivator. Kind of look at how you spent your solitude. And try to drive it forward. That's, you know, well done, Travis. Well done. And you did walk away from this wreck.
So, Travis, out of curiosity, do you feel like the things that you were able to pick up and kind of move that forward, whether it's increased value in show productions or writing or whatever, do you think that when you go back to work or go to another location or potentially have this, I guess, non-COVID situation facing you, do you think you're going to have the time to be able to do some of the things that you were doing or working or whatever it's going to be and continue those efforts next year? Do you think that's...
Well, I do. And the reason that I do is unless something with my work changes, I will still be working from home indefinitely. Okay. My work from home was... at first COVID related because our office closed down, but it became a permanent remote position as I changed my position sometime in April.
Okay.
I went from a job that was in the office to a fully remote position, which helped because then it meant, okay, now I'm not going to be worrying about, am I going back to an office at some point? When is that happening? Where is it going to be? We were moving at the time. We were in the middle of moving our office from one building to another when COVID started hitting. And so that was kind of crazy, but I will be able to continue with that because, the changes that were made are permanent.
Yeah.
So that was part of why I was able to kind of really focus in on stuff. It gave me the ability to feel as though, okay, so that part of things is settled. I'm not worried about my job and I'm not worried about having to drastically alter how I go about my job. So that's there. I don't have to focus on it. I can put my energy towards something else. So that was getting the house in order and getting, you know, things going on.
Very, very, very cool. Like for me, I guess this year's been, I'm not dead. Like you said, that's a pretty good place to be considering I've got more than one close friend now with a relative or a close someone they know in the hospital fighting this flipping thing. Me getting out of it without anything major is pretty good. We're going to talk about this in a minute, but my mom got vaccinated yesterday, which is huge. You know, I mean, that's a big deal. So she's the first person, not the first person in our circle or our relatives that have been vaccinated, but the first one that I was aware of until today. So we do have an aunt that got vaccinated because she works in a nursing home. But yeah, we can talk a little bit about that in a little bit. But like, I think the thing that I'm trying to deal with, I guess more than anything, is like the fact that my kid's been mostly isolated all year. And a lot of that's coming to a head, or not really to a head. It's been there. It's been dormant. But that realization that long without other children in your life can breed incredible levels of anxiety when even the idea of going to play with kids becomes an amygdala response. Like, fight or flight, there's a bear going to eat me. It's like, no, they're just children. We can get through this. So that's been probably the hardest thing. And has us doing some research towards, like, the next part of the year. Like, who out there that we know is being safe and is watching out for themselves and their friends and is doing grocery pickup. And, you know, you start to calculate your risk a little bit. Not to say you throw away all your regulations, but you just go, hey, what's your plan? Are you doing stuff? Who are you with? What's your strategy? And trying to expand his friend group a little bit. Cause like, we don't know anybody with 5-year-olds other than like, two families, you know what I mean? And one of them luckily, like, we went and hung out with today after some chats with how they've been doing, and found they're doing even better in terms of protecting themselves and others than we had initially thought. We're like, whoa, good. You're even picking up your groceries. You're not going to stores unless you have to. You're locking down. You think people who don't wear masks are crazy. Okay, good. We're all on the same page. We're all in a very similar bubble world. And they understand our situation 100%. And they're almost, it becomes like this level of trust you almost have to have, particularly when Sam needs it. You know, like, I have a kid that needs interaction with other kids. This is bad. It's bad. So I'm trying not to be real depressing. But we're doing it. We're trying to make our best decisions we can, and get him more acclimated to at least a few kids. So when school does come around, when we get vaccinated, it's safer to go back to school. We can be like, hey, you're going to go to school. And it's not like, oh, Lord, children, they're like animals that want to eat your face. It's like, no. Children are good. School is good. Mom and dad are fine. We're going to come back and get you. Like, it's almost like you're going through those separation anxiety things that two-year-olds have again.
Again, yeah.
But with a kid that has more faculties, you know, like more knowledge and more arguments and more fight than a two-year-old has. And that's the thing I think that's this is a harder fight than when he was two trying to get it, or three trying to get him to go to preschool. And it's not even dropping him off. It's just taking him somewhere to play with someone that we trust and know. So that's all been an inventive thing. That's just a realization from today. that's just today. But it's been brewing over the course of the year. But in other news, the PlayStation 5 is probably going to come for me tomorrow. So that'll be pretty nice. And yeah, everything is good.
Nice.
Everything is good. I did learn today, just so everyone's aware, silicone for your bathroom for ceiling has a horrendous, terrible smell, and you should not use it with your face in the shower trying to seal cracks, because you'll die, and you will want to leave your house. It's terrible. Sam's taking a, this is a funny anecdote, but Sam's taking a bath, and I'm like, I'm going to fix this crack in the shower. I got some silicone. I'm going to do this thing. And I go to fix it, and Sam starts going, what smells like duty fart? And I'm like, I don't know. What is that smell? Is that this stuff? Took a big sniff, almost died. Was like, my nose burns. Sam, we've made a mistake. Let's go ahead and exit this room post-haste. So then I went and asked Stephanie what all the things on the side of the bottle were. What does all this mean? Are Sam and I going to die? No, that's just vinegar. Oh, that's why it smells like Easter egg farts. All right, got it. We're I'm gonna turn the fan on and leave that to sit for a little bit. So anyway, yeah, I stole the mic forever. Y'all can have it back now. But I'm
that's
good.
Fine. Steven learned something today, was what we know, and that's good. Yes. Learning is good. Growth, personal growth.
Personal growth. I'd agree. We're all good here now. But anyway, moving right along with what we got going on here. Let's do a sound. Let's do a sound. The isolation report. So, we've got a handful of categories here, and I don't know, some of them are probably personal stuff. Some of them might be not so personal. Looks like you guys filled out your list, so I'm just going to wing it, which is fine, but I've been talking long enough. So Jacob, let's swing back around to you. I want to hear your best story of 2020.
The best story that I remember from 2020, COVID related, this show related, it was back in episode 2, and I think Lando did this story. It was about Brazil gangs that took over and actually enforced curfews during the early days of the coronavirus. And when you have, I feel like that was the epitome of what was happening right at the beginning. Everybody was kind of coming together. And when you have gangs acting as enforcers or law enforcement to make sure that the rules were being followed and the curfews were being followed, that said a lot about where Brazil was at the time. And I feel like that has, I don't know about in Brazil, but I know in America, you know, we had that kind of come together moment ish, maybe toward the beginning. But I don't feel like we were ever at that point where we really had that kind of a national push to try to save people's lives. And it was definitely interesting to see right at the early onset that, you know, this really good coming together of folks. So that was my best story of 2020. We did a whole bunch of really good stories. I mean, there was the troop, the Boy Scout troop that created the hug, whatever the booth was for hugging nursing home people. And I mean, there were so many good touching stories, but that was the one right at the beginning that kind of went, huh, maybe we can come together. And then, you know, reality set in.
Then we didn't. But it was a nice thought there for a minute. Travis, how about you? What's your best story?
My best story is my favorite story, was from episode 36, and that was the fundraiser of Flavortown, Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
Raising all that money for all these restaurant workers and the people that were put out of work or keep them afloat, all this kind of stuff, because the guy just gets so much crap from people online for his bombastic attitude and his goofy Hawaiian shirts and his bleach blonde hair. But he's a good dude. And he did all this without a huge fanfare. He raised $21.5 million.
That's
in 7 weeks.
Boatload of money.
That is incredible. And for me, it was just, that was the best like feel good story of the year.
Guy
Fieri.
Yeah,
that really was a good one. Well done, Guy Fieri. So I don't write a best story down because I'm a terrible person. And I was trying to think of what a best story would have looked like. But as I was perusing the notes, I did find one about the poaching of rhinos was cut in half due to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. That feels kind of like a bad story because it feels like you're kind of invoking the Thanos principle of just blow away half the people, everything will work out, which is not exactly wrong, but is also terrible. So it feels that way with the rhino thing, but hey, more animals got to live, and that's a good thing. That's what I've got, because I don't do my homework.
Well, no, it's unintended consequences, right? I mean, we didn't think that rhino populations would be improved because of COVID. We also didn't, I mean, look at climate change and, you know, some of the effects that COVID had on climate change, and we reported on that. And, you know, there were pollution. A lot of unintended consequences. Look at the consumer debt, especially in those first six or so months of COVID. Consumer debt went way down. People were hanging on to money and not spending it, not going out, not going to bars. I mean, people were saving money. So yeah, there are a lot of those really cool stories.
Yeah. There was also the DoorDash IPO for $160 a share.
Yeah, that's
that is insane. Don't buy that. I'm not a stock professional. Don't take my advice, but don't buy DoorDash stock at $160 because they ain't going nowhere but down. Have fun with that.
I would say, Steven, stop meddling in Jacob's affairs. He's the one that controls the stock market.
Jacob, I've been to Jacob's house. I promise you, he has a compartment in his bedroom with a little lever, and all it is an up or down, and he can drive any individual stock up or down. Yeah. There's a button for Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P, and he's just like, brr, 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 and he plays with it all day.
I really think that's how it works. I mean, I think there's just a room and there's just some dude. And he's got a phone. He like picks up the phone. He's like, what? Huh?
Hey, Jerry, flip that thing.
And then it goes up and goes down. That's it. It's just like,
no, the other one. Yeah. Just flip it. No, the other way. Flip it down. And that's it.
It's like the old voting machine. I'm the one on the lever.
I'm the one on the other end of the phone, though. That's what you feel. That's what it is. Okay, yeah.
I imagine it's like the ship speed throttle thing, like in the Titanic, where like crank, crank, full speed, crank, crank. I love that thing. I want one of those for my house. I don't want it connected to anything. I just want to do that every now and then with a belt.
I worked in a store that had one. I worked in a men's clothing store called the Captain's Quarters, and so it had a nautical theme, and we had a great big one of those right in front of the main door.
That's so cool. I'm gonna build one. I just need to learn how to metalwork. Maybe that'll be next year's project.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah,
I'd like to work with brass
or swords.
Yeah, I want to make knives because that's a great idea for me. As someone who's cut himself on every knife he's ever owned. Horrible. You
know, I have enough. I have enough property. I could build a forge in my backyard.
Oh yeah, do it. I know a dude who did that. Yeah, he made knives as a hobby, and it was the coolest thing I'd ever heard in my life. I was like, you make knives? Like, yeah, they're great. It's fun. I like to blacksmith. Like, this is not a normal thing you just bring up casually. Yes, I like to blacksmith. That's not simple. You don't just introduce yourself and go, hi, I'm such and such. Yeah, I occasionally blacksmith on the side. You go, I'm a flipping blacksmith, and it's the coolest thing, and I like working with hot metal. I would just burn my face off. That's what would happen. There would be nothing left of me. I'm not slow or patient. No,
if you ever go to a forge, just assume everything is sharp and hot. And
yes, don't touch it. Yeah. Glass blowing sounds fun. Oh, glass dripped into my leg and burned a hole through me. This is great.
You know, I took a course on glass blowing in college.
Yeah. Did you blow it well?
I did.
You're a good blower there.
Sound right. But no, we had a professional glass blower. He blew all the glass for the labs in grad school. And so anytime you needed something specific, you would just go to him and he would make it for you. And so he had this kind of an internship-like program. And so I spent a semester learning how to blow glass.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Do you have any trinkets from your glass blowing days?
No, I think most of it was just mainly labware.
Ah, oh, bummer. You could make your own beakers. That'd be fun.
I could.
I'm going to make an Erlenmeyer.
Erlenmeyer
flask. Look at me. I know science words, too. Jacob, what's your worst story of 2020?
Worst story. So back in episode 19, there was a dude that really pissed me off, and it stuck with me the entire 20 plus episodes since. It was the guy who took the PPP money, the bailout or the stimulus money, and he bought a Lamborghini. It was a Florida dude, and I think he got like $2 million or $4 million, and he spent it on, you know, a new ride. He spent it on housing costs. He spent it on jewelry. He spent it on new clothing. And of course, the Lamborghini was in that. It just pissed me off. So yeah, Florida man, you win the worst story of 2020 for buying a Lamborghini with stimulus money that was supposed to go to people that actually needed it. You're an asshole, sir.
Yeah. If you look up dick move in the dictionary, what you're going to find is the definition of a dick move, which happens to be using stimulus money to buy a Lamborghini.
Yes.
That's believe the example it or not, underneath. Use it in a sentence. Read it out.
Use it in a sentence. The guy who bought a Lamborghini using stimulus money, that's a dick move.
Exactly.
That butthole. You're not wrong. That's terrible. Just
awful.
Yeah, tragic story.
Story of 2020.
So my worst story was actually another one from an episode that I was on, my first episode, episode 23. I came on as a guest. Please remain calm while the robot swabs your nose, because it still terrifies me to this day. Months later, watching the video of that robot agonizingly slowly pushing a giant swab in that guy's head. No, thank you.
That's where they attach a small chip to the cotton swab so that they can control your thoughts. That's part of
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
You are the Borg.
Bill Gates, how much time did he have to spend answering questions this year about whether or not microchips were being implanted in people?
That guy, the poor man. A
non-trivial amount of time.
I know, right?
What is it? Why not trust Bill Gates? Bill Gates has given away so much money. The money he has been dedicated to eradicating malaria and polio and trying to solve what to do with wasted nuclear rods. The man is trying his best to save us from ourselves. And everybody's still like, that's the Windows guy. Like, you guys asshole. Need to shove it straight up your butt. Because that guy's working hard to not... Man, they almost had that reusable nuclear energy fusion rod BS running in China till we had a different relationship with China. But they almost had it going. They had a contract signed and everything, and then they had to pull back. We'll see where that goes. I'm keeping an eye on that one. For me, the worst story, honestly, it's anti-maskers of all shapes and sizes. But those buttholes at that Target that went walking through Target with their masks off, chanting, take off that mask. Take off that. Like, I'm just so done. I'm so done with anti-mask sentiment. I have no room for anyone who thinks that it's my freedoms or the latest that I heard was the likelihood of me dying is just really low, so I'm willing to not bother. The likelihood of you dying, sure, is not high because you're a nice, you're healthy, you're in your 30s, whatever, but you can still give it to people who can die. Well, this is why cloth masks work when everybody wears them. This is why Jacob shops with an N95, because there's a bunch of tool bags wandering around out there.
Yep.
And he's like, I'd rather breathe on you because I can 100% without a doubt say I'm safe. But you're not. So I'm going to protect myself. These people, they're just a bunch of jackholes, and I have no room for them, and I hope they die in a fire and get butt warts.
When I hear people say, well, it's a low probability of you dying. All right, so here's a 36-inch steel rod, and there's a thunderstorm. I want you to go walk around the golf course with that and hold it above your head. It's a low percent chance that you're going to get struck by lightning. So, but if it does happen, hey, what can I say? Or go play in traffic for a while. You're probably not going to get hit by a car.
Yeah.
But you don't know.
Sure.
Take precautions.
Yeah, it's not that hard to protect yourself. It stops you from doing nothing else in your life to put cloth mask on your face. If you go swimming and it's got its risks with shark attacks, sure. But there's also nothing really that you can do to protect yourself from a shark attack. And swimming's flipping fun. But you can protect yourself and others from COVID by wearing a daggone mask.
Well, Doubter in the chat brings up the first reaction to seatbelts. I can remember a time when seatbelts weren't mandatory.
I do.
Yeah, but you also remember a time when deaths were through the roof relative to car accidents.
Exactly.
And then you saw them drop dramatically whenever they enforced a seatbelt law. So,
And that was before you couldn't pull over for a seatbelt either. You know, you had to have some other reason to pull somebody over. Then they did the click it or ticket. And then put the seatbelt on. And if not, I knew a dude, he would get in his truck. This was 2006. Get in his truck, not put his seatbelt on, and when his truck started beeping at him when he got up to speed, he could just push the button and it would turn off because he thought seatbelts were stupid. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm in this truck right now, because if you wreck, you go flying off and your body's out in the ditch somewhere. I got to look at that when I get out of the truck safely. It's just now, a simple thing.
I went through a dumb period of time where I didn't wear my seatbelt every time I got in my car, but my car was also like a subcompact Saturn, and I am not a small person fitting into this car. My likelihood of going through the windshield was fairly low. I had more of a likelihood of the entirety of the car getting split in half. So I was dumb and I didn't wear my seatbelt all the time, but I got out of that habit pretty quickly.
Yeah. You were going to end up with a 4-cylinder engine shoved into your crotch.
Much more likely that than going through the windshield.
I don't have to wear a seatbelt. The engine will hold me in when it blasts through the firewall. It'll be fine. They'll be able to find me. It's good.
I'm not going anywhere.
what was I going to talk? Oh, I talked about my thing. All right, Jacob. You kind of made this your own little category. Your biggest sports moment.
Not my biggest sports moment. I feel like the biggest sports moment relative to COVID, and it was one that I ranted on, and I still want to rant on it because it still just pisses me off. Major League Baseball completed their season almost entirely event-free, except for a few little issues at the beginning. They did an awesome job, and they should have been commended. But rather than being commended, they're going to be remembered because some jack nugget named Justin Effing Turner decided he wanted to go back out onto the field after testing positive for COVID. And then 10 people got it. Thank you, Justin Turner. You're an asshole, sir. Biggest sports moment right there.
That did it.
I even ranted again. I can't get over this guy.
It's really got you crawled up into your craw there.
But I mean, there were a lot of big sports moments, though. But I feel like that was the one COVID related that just that was like the exclamation point.
Yeah. I mean, you could talk about Rudy Gobert and his whole, it's not a big thing, and touching all the microphones at the press conference, and then, he tested positive that day type of thing, and the egg on his face. But that was bad. The Justin Turner one was worse because Turner knew that he had tested positive and then went back out. if I as I remember it. And that's what makes it worse. So yeah, you're right. And I've tried, like, I've tried justifying it, and I understand it's a big moment. You don't win the World Series every year, but that's a tough one to that's a really tough one. So yeah.
Well, especially knowing what we know now in hindsight, which was 10 people ended up with COVID.
Right.
I mean, if you look at the propagation likelihood, there were 100 people that tested positive after the Biogen conference in Boston back in March. And of those, they had spread around the country and actually the world. And now over 300,000 cases have been linked to those 100 cases at the origin back in March in Boston. So I feel like that one thing could have led to 10 cases, which could lead to 100, which ultimately could lead to 300,000. And it's all because of one really stupid decision.
Yeah. So I had entertainment and an entertainment story of the year that was interesting to me. Kind of the biggest moment was the day and date releases of stuff on, it's a recent one, but in theaters / streaming services, because it's the sea change and it's kind of the, it couples with sort of the decline, the further declining of theaters and theater chains. But this was really the first year where we saw major, I mean, Wonder Woman 1984, Christmas Day release came out in theaters and on HBO Max. And we had Soul come out on Disney Plus, Mulan come out on Disney Plus, in theaters on the same day. We've seen day and date releases of movies, in theaters and on streaming services. It's not a brand new thing, but never anything at this level. Certainly nothing like a tentpole Wonder Woman type, you know, superhero film. So that for me was a pretty big moment this year. And then just the continuing question of, are we going to have theater chains coming out? Because Warner Brothers has said, well, this whole thing, they announced their entire 2021 slate will be coming out on streaming services on HBO Max. But now they say by 2023, they're going to not be doing that. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. You can't put that toothpaste back in the tube. That's going to be an option. Tom Hanks actually made a prediction to tie into this a little bit. He was trying to promote his News of the World movie, which also came out on Christmas Day in theaters. And I don't know how many people saw it, but it's a Western place. I would typically go see a movie with my dad on Christmas. Didn't get to do that. But he predicted that this is the sea change that has been brewing for a while. He said people are less interested in going to see the theater to just see people say interesting things to each other. And they're more interested in going for the big bombastic tentpole Marvel movie. And I don't think he's wrong. I think you're likely to see more talky movies, is kind of how I've explained them, show up on streaming services and potentially bypass theaters altogether, unless they're trying to Oscar bait it. That sounds like a very graphic term. But yes, they're going to attempt to Oscar bait.
We're not doing crazy.
They're going to Oscar bait the movie. In which case, it has to go to a theater, because I think there's rules and regulations regarding...
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, or at least it can, I think you have to have had a theatrical run, or be planning
To be Oscar nominated, you have to have had a theatrical run. That's why there was a limited run for The Irishman.
Okay, gotcha.
Last year. Yeah, that kind of thing. What you'll see, too, is stuff like that, because The Irishman is a perfect example of a movie that you don't have to go to a multiplex IMAX screen to see The Irishman. It's a bunch of old men talking for $1,000.
3.5 hours. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't want to see that in the IMAX or in a theater. The reason why is because I'd have to get up and pee at least twice, and I would much rather have the ability to pause it, go refresh my drink, and come back and not miss half the movie.
But while I think that theater chains are done or certainly on the way out, I think that smaller theaters, art house type theaters, are going to remain, and they will be able to do that limited release. And they are the types of places that you will go to see the movie like that. That's the type of theater that will have it and can continue it, because they can do it for a weekend or two. And so it got a release. It's now Oscar worthy until they change those rules, but it also gives the opportunity to go and see that as an event. And then your bigger theaters, while I don't think we're going to see another, like 15 screen multiplex get built. we'll see, you know, things like Alamo Drafthouse and that type of thing continue. So it's just a big change.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's gonna be different. I think that there's good and bad. I mean, Irishman might not even have been made in the way it was made if it was gonna be theater release. Because Netflix gives you the flexibility that a movie sitting in an actual theater can't give you. And that's the only reason I think someone like Scorsese would go with a streaming service. Because he could tell the story he wanted to tell, how he wanted to tell it. And it was worth the sacrifice of the theater. As a staunch film guy that he is, and theater guy that he is, that seems to be like the only thing that would have convinced him to go. That being said, the gimmick of seeing Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in the millimeter, 35. I was like, what's the number? It's slipping. 35 millimeter at the Alamo was super duper cool.
That was so much fun.
Given that we've been so long since we've seen film at a movie theater, watching that movie with film and it's a 1970s set movie was really cool. It added something to it, and I appreciated the gimmick of that. And I could see more of that. And that's
the thing. It's a gimmick. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I look back longingly on those kind of movies. I mean, I look back at Jay and Silent Bob's reboot with we went and watched it with Kevin Smith in the middle of a Carolina theater in Durham. And it was a lot of fun. We got a Q&A session afterwards. And then I think of the 35 millimeter that we went and saw with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And, you know, that was super fun. And I don't remember a lot of the movies that I just went and saw randomly. I mean, I do remember Endgame, but it wasn't an event for me. Those were events, and I have fond memories of them. I don't necessarily have the fond memory of the Infinity War or Wars or whatever I saw before that. But those I do. So I feel like we might hopefully maintain at least some of those type of events and not get rid of those.
I'd be good with that. So I was saddled with the most accurate prediction, and I struggled to think of what has been predicted and what was right or wrong, but I will go ahead and throw this one back to the original third host of Staring at Goats, the person who named this flipping show because he runs a goat farm, and that is Lando, predicting that masks would not only be accepted to some degree, but would be in vogue in a lot of cases, that those masks would have the fashion sense, that there would be fashion around masks. And he's not wrong. I hearken back to my mom telling me about the lady that came in with a mask that matched her suit. She had a mask that was striped in the exact same manner as the suit, almost like it was made from the same fabric. And that kind of worked out. He went as far as to say that flipping Mandalorian helmets could be a thing that you see on casual people, but that didn't quite work out. But I'm skewing it a little bit, but masks got more accepted as the year went on than I think we expected them to, particularly with the anti-mask sentiment that was going out. There's still anti-mask sentiment. I think it's plenty. But I've also talked to people that were like, I was kind of like, take it or leave it early on, but now I don't go in a store without one. It's just kind of what I do. And the idea that there were, when I first went to Home Depot when the first mask thing happened, and I saw a lot of people who didn't have them waiting in line, I kind of felt like a weirdo wearing one. To the reverse becoming such a thing that now it's you look like a day-hole by not wearing one. And that seems to be, at least in the places I've been to, I know I live in a fairly populated, intelligent area of North Carolina, but it's kind of more skewed towards people have masks more than they don't everywhere I've been. You got your occasional jackwagon walking in a store without one, but it's not as prevalent as I expected. I've also seen in the last 3 or 4 months when I have gone out that there are less nose hole butt faces out there letting their nose dangle out. Haven't seen that as much as I used to. And I'm not saying that obviously it's subjective because it's how I've perceived the world. But I want to believe that that's because it has gotten mildly or moderately better. Maybe I'm optimistic about it, but
I think you're right.
Yeah.
The other thing I will mention about that is I think Landon hit it 100% out of the park on that prediction, because he actually said not only would they be in vogue, but then you would have people actually looking at having masks that were matching, and that they would start ordering masks that were celebrated their status. I mean, you remember the one story we did where the guy ordered a $4,000 mask. It was a 24 karat gold mask.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, it didn't work worth a shit, but people 3D printing masks, and yeah, people putting pearls on masks. And mm-hmm. I mean, there were a lot of fashion that went into masks.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Landon, you got it. I think you got it right. Landon didn't hit the nail on the head on that one.
He sure did. Sam, even today, he had a mask that we got for him that looks like a dinosaur face. So when he's running around with his mask on, it's like a little dinosaur. I think it came from Old Navy or something. It's a normal cloth mask like every other one, but it's got like this dinosaur smile. That's awesome. And it's like, that helps kids wear them. He wore it the whole time. The whole time. Didn't take it off. Didn't complain. Didn't touch his face. Nothing. So all those predictions that kids are going to be snatching at them, and like after a certain age, kids are actually really good about playing by the rules. When a grown-up tells them wear this or you could get lots of people sick, he's like, okay. Yeah. Pretty, I thought that was pretty cool. Personal moments, Jacob. I imagine you have one or two.
Yeah, mine. This one was easy for me because it was obvious. Clearly, we had a child in the middle of the pandemic, so that is 100% a personal moment. That was probably the top of the list for us. I think I've got to go with that as the winner there.
I'm pretty sure if you didn't go with that, you'd be sleeping outside tonight anyway. So
it's cold outside too. So no, I don't want that.
Oh, don't talk to me about cold.
I mean, you've chosen a place that
cold is a decision, Travis.
There was a tundra up there.
Fair. That's a good one though. That's big. That's a big life change. And you have so far managed to weather that storm pretty well. So that's good.
Although I will tell you, my life 100% changed. There were nothing I did is the same.
No, never will be again.
You know, what's interesting is that I kept making the comment early on. I don't know what's COVID related and what is new child related. And I'm starting to realize that most of it was just new child related because, dealing with a third person in the house, especially one as dependent as a newborn baby, it takes all your time, energy, and effort, and period, end of discussion. And so if your life doesn't change, you're doing it wrong.
This is true. I don't even have kids of my own, and I know this.
You have a dog. It's not the same. I used to love that when I was a new parent. I'd want to slap somebody. I got a new puppy and it's tough too. It's not the same, but it is a challenge. Same. It is an adjustment and it is a challenge. I can't lock my new baby in a cage for 6 hours and go to work, but I get what you're saying. You're trying to,
but wait. I also did have a stepson for a little while.
Sure.
So I have done the parenting thing. So I definitely know, like, and that's probably one of the biggest things is you literally have a demarcation point of a day and a date that you can say, at this point, I no longer was the most important thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is now that little baked potato.
Whether you get to that understanding right on that day and date is a different battle, but it is definitely the day it happens. And I think it took me 3 years before I finally went, okay, so this is going to be forever. I better just suck it up and be this. It also coincided with it being less work when he was three. So that was also nice. Yeah. Then I'm like, oh, okay. It'd
make a difference too. Yeah.
We're good now. Things are a little bit easier. But yeah. So Travis, what was your big thing?
My big thing was in March as well. I bought a house.
Woo!
And
the Dragon House.
The Dragon
Trogdor House. Trogdor House.
Yes, that was a big one for me. And I bought this house. I finished moving in. And 1 week later, our state locked everything down and I started working from home. So I got in perfectly timed. The nice thing was it gave me plenty of time to decorate and set things up and get the house how I wanted. But yeah, that was a big one for me, was just getting this house and, becoming a homeowner.
There you go. Yeah. That's like having a new baby. Dude, Dude, yeah, your production value, you've got the perfect back wall that Bill better look out because you're coming for him.
Got I'm gonna try.
Shelf, TV, fuse box.
Working on it.
He better.
The fuse box here.
He better hang in there. For me, the personal moment, I couldn't pinpoint any particular one, but I think this has been one of the coolest years for Legion of Dorks in general, for all the people that have come along and kind of hopped in the Discord and didn't run away. Like, you see the names and you're like, is that person ever going to talk again? But it's been really cool. I think this year, Hammerdwarf, who I've known for years, has kind of become a new Legionnaire. You jumped in tail end last year. But either way, still kind of new this year. Oddly jumped in. Ace has been here the most of the year. Like, it's been a cool year of gathering together a bunch of nerds and weathering the storm together. Mm-hmm. And that to me has been really neat. Watching the growth of the community has been a lot of fun, considering I can't meet other people in real life. Not that you guys aren't real life, but you know what I mean. Like, I can't meet other people out in the world. Jacob's not introducing me to new friends because he doesn't have any. I'm not, because all my new friends come through Jacob because he knows everyone because he's the mayor. But I people at work, I don't see them. I've kind of met a few people in meetings and stuff. That's not the same. Zoom calls, it's all business. It's not sitting around chit-chatting. But that's been a joy. So if there is a personal moment that kind of feels the strongest, having these new shows and the charity stream rocking it this year, that our new book Horizons was just chock full of stories that were awesome. It's just been fun. It's just been fun in the it's been a diamond in the rough of this bull crap year. And I thank you all for that. Everybody out there in the Legion who listens.
Well, one thing I'd like to say about the Legion is that there's a lot of content producers.
Good and gravy. Yes.
That's what I've really enjoyed. I mean, just seeing people going live like Groove, seeing people go live like Bad Carrot Kelly and Zapho. They started their Tuesday night streams with authors. Yep. That's a lot of fun to watch. And then you've got Travis and Oddly doing their Highlander show. And then, of course, you know, Travis does a lot of his work. And I mean, there's just a lot of really good content creators. And I feel like that's one thing that I think really. And then, of course, the Geekheims, both of them, they're streaming nonstop now. And I feel like there's a lot of really cool, awesome content producers here in the Legion. So this year was definitely big for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was big for me. It was really cool to become part of a community, and one it's a nice tight knit community. Everybody gets along, and there's a lot of back and forth. And I love going in and seeing in some of the channels where people are talking about how do I do this, helping a head gamer out, trying to figure out an audio issue, or whatever it is. Like it's great, and everybody's quick to offer help when it's needed too, which I love.
That's really the bottom. I mean, you mentioned content creators. Hammer just started. Hammer Dwarf just started streaming again on YouTube, doing some stuff.
I saw the notification that he went live, and I was like, "Oh, I should check that out," but I didn't get a chance to because child.
Sure. Yeah, and then, like, and there's the cross pollination of networks a bit, like Alex Albisu's stuff, like hanging out with him on a couple podcasts and seeing those guys, seeing you guys do Phantasmophobia with Scott Johnson and stuff. Like, there's really wild intertwining of communities that's fun to see. But it's cool to see all the creators. But yeah, so that's a personal moment for me. But we'll move on to our deep dive, and that is, what does 2021 hold? I don't know if this is predictions, if this is hopes and dreams, but I can tell you a little bit, just quick blurb about my mom's vaccine, because she got it yesterday at 3 p.m. And she wanted, I asked her today, I said, how are you feeling? And she said, I'm a little tired. She said, but I did not feel the shot at all. So she got a good shot applicator person. She's like, I didn't even feel it. She said, I was stressed out and scared to death. She hates needles and shots. So she was like, it was going to get moved to today. And luckily they got it done yesterday, because she's like, the anxiety would have killed me. So they basically called her up and she went and got it. And she says fatigue. Otherwise, she feels pretty good. Not feeling bad at all. And she woke up a lot last night in the middle of the night, but my dad wasn't home. He was off doing something for work or for, he was riding horses with some friends. I don't remember what he was doing. But either way, he wasn't there. So she's like, it could have been waking up because he was gone. Just abnormal evening. She said that could be normal. So she didn't want to add that as a side effect. But other than that, she's been a little tired. Flu shot like, y'all, symptoms. That means your immune system is doing its job. It's waking up and going, I'm making enemies. Wait, what's that? Oh, it's a corpse. Oh, well, I guess everybody could just hang around in case anything else shows up. Good. All right. Let's go chill somewhere. Meet you guys at the bar. We'll wait till this thing wakes up. It's a good way to take your immune system and thank it. But yeah, so 2021, where are we at? What do we hold? What's our hopes and dreams? Jacob, what you thinking? Or Travis, I don't care.
Yeah, Travis?
I don't want to say a return to normalcy because normal has changed and it's evolved and we're not going back to what we had. But what I would like to see is over the course of 2021, getting back some form of some of the things we were able to do at the beginning of this year that we were not. Being able to go out to a venue and see a show, even, outdoor venue, I'm fine with. It doesn't matter. But something along those lines, or the ability to travel again, where like things are, the vaccinations happen and the spread is not something that you worry about any more than you would on a normal plane trip somewhere in a flying petri dish. And being able to do things like that again, in some form or another is what I'm hoping will happen. But you can wish in one hand and you can you can see which one shows up first. Yes. But that's my hope. My hope is that we can get a return to some of the activities that we used to do. Things like I used to play basketball with a group of guys every Sunday morning, and I did that for years, from September to May. Every Sunday we would get together and we would play. And I haven't been able to do that pretty much for the entirety of 2020. And that's something that A, I looked forward to, and B, was a good good bit of exercise that I've lost every week. So, it's stuff like that I would like to get a return to. And hopefully that will happen sometime in this year.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. My prediction for 2021, I've actually got two. One, when people get vaccines, they're going to stop wearing masks. And we're going to see a lot of the, I've been vaccinated, what are you talking about, type of behavior at stores. I don't have to wear a mask because I've been vaccinated. I have a feeling that mentality is going to creep into our national conversation, and it's not going to be a pretty one. So I'm hoping that people will continue to wear masks, and I'm hoping that mentality will continue until we've got enough people vaccinated such that we've crossed over that herd immunity threshold. But I have a strange feeling that that's going to be a very negative discussion point for us in our COVID discussions. A positive discussion point, I think, is going to be the relative quickness of the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine, and how, now instead of one company pumping out as much vaccine as they can and trying to give it to the entire world, you've got two companies doing it. So you're doubling the amount of vaccine available to folks. And so you're effectively cutting in half the delivery time that was expected and was anticipated. So things like, we were talking about September being a time where we were probably going to get vaccinated. Now that's already moved to April, May, maybe even June timeframe. So I think that the vaccine's going to get into people's hands much quicker. I do think that there's going to be some outrage about wasted vaccines because, the way it's packaged and maybe not enough people. So they might have had to throw away part of a vial that they had to open. And so there's going to be a lot of discussion and tracking and outrage associated with that. And, then on the flip side of that, there's definitely going to be some discussions about favoritism. There already has been about people who know somebody important, therefore they get to move to the front of the line. My sister has a brother-in-law who's best friends with the president of this company, and therefore I was able to get vaccinated when you weren't, ha ha ha. So I have a feeling that's going to come, but overall I think the positive thing is that we're all going to get vaccinated or have access to vaccines much quicker than I think we had originally forecasted. And I'm hoping that one of the protein-based ones gets at least through a phase of the trials such that some kids can start getting vaccinated. Because let's face it, you send your kids to daycare and every week they come back with something. They're sick all the time. And let's not pretend like COVID won't be a thing in daycares. And, you know, it's going to be a thing. We just have to figure out how to not make it a thing. And I think if we can get one of these protein-based vaccinations, that's my prediction, is that toward the end of the year, we might actually see one of these other protein-based ones and kids starting to get vaccinated by the end of next year.
And that would be huge. To follow up, I know I've talked about my mom's vaccine multiple times, but I did give her instructions to wear her mask regardless for the foreseeable future. And she's like, yes, I'm going to wear my mask because I don't, you know. Her thing was, I don't want to be the person not wearing a mask getting yelled at, even if I'm not. Like, I can't get the thing. And she's like, they told me not to expect it to protect me for X amount of weeks, even after my second dose, you know, stay protected and all that stuff. And they also said, we don't know how long this thing lasts. They're like, could be 4 months, could be 6 months. The time's not there. You only know how long a Twinkie lives because that's how long you tested it for. Yep. Could be longer, could be less. We've only had a year. And of that, we've only had 6 months or so to really see, though nobody really knows. But I thought that was fascinating. But no, those are good predictions. I tried to come up with one that felt really positive, and my hope is that the vaccines are in our hands. I think Oxford just got theirs approved in the EU for emergency use, so we're expecting that to happen here a little bit later, which is good. I mean, these are moving forward. I mean, I don't know how quickly they'll do it, but they're going to move. Russia's vaccine's still there. Don't forget, Putin's going to get it. So, he tested all his lab rats, a.k.a. Russian citizens. So we'll see how it goes. But I think the thing that's going to stick with me the worst is the people that I've lost respect for over the past year, the associations that I may be less inclined to keep. And there's not many. I mean, I run in some pretty good circles of folks that have done what they're supposed to and everything. But there are a handful that I'm just like, I'm watching you on Facebook and I'm disgusted at your behavior. And I no longer want to be your friend. And that's bad. Like, that shouldn't be a thing. But also, it shows me how much you care about others and your anti, I'm not wearing a mask, I'm going to restaurants stuff is a problem. For me, and the fact that you would do it bothers me, and I hate that feeling. I don't like that, and I wonder, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there whose family members and friends they've not lost but kind of decided to distance themselves from for a little while through this, and is it going to be the thing that we just can't get over, or is it the thing that we look at and we go, well, now I know more about you. Now I know where your heart lies, you know.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, is it's another one of those things, like, how do you treat people in a service job that is a shorthand for what type of a person you are? Like,
right.
It's going to give me a very clear first impression on you.
And I've completely disregarded
that or not, like, you know, I try not to judge people, but I totally judge people on how they treat wait staff or service workers, that kind of stuff. I won't shy away from that. Like, I judge you for that. And this falls into that same category.
That's a good point.
For me, I don't necessarily believe it's judge. I will tell you, if I see somebody treating wait staff poorly, I'm in the same boat as you, Travis. But the difference, or the way my perspective is more of a, that is not somebody that I want to spend any kind of my time, because time is valuable, right? My time is it's valuable to me, and I'm not going to waste my valuable time on somebody that refuses to help another person. by just wearing a simple mask, or refuses to treat a waitstaff well, or refuses to wear a mask in a grocery store checking out when you've got frontline workers right there seeing you, and yet you're going to be the asshole. So I don't want to waste my valuable time on spending it with some jack nugget like that.
And especially when your grocery stores and these stores have contingencies in place. If you don't want to wear a mask, fine. Call ahead, order your stuff, pick it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have it brought out to your car. You can do that. And then you don't ever have to put a mask on and you can go on about your day. You're still a jackwagon, but at least you're not affecting anyone else with your douchebaggery. So
I love that we have this theme that we just absolutely cannot abide people who won't wear the mask on the show. And we're not apologetic about it. Like, if you're listening to the show and you're an anti-masker, I don't like you. I don't have time for you.
If you're listening to the show and you're an anti-masker, I would like an email, because I would love to understand what the perspective is of an anti-masker, because I still haven't heard a good one. I've heard a whole bunch of bullshit about violating First Amendment, all of that crap, but I haven't heard a really good one. How it helps your neighbor to not wear a mask. Tell me that. Send me an email. I'd love to entertain it.
Or a voicemail. You can do that too.
Either or a voicemail.
Oh, what's that number, Travis? What's that number for the voicemail?
231-486-5401. So we're still waiting on our first voicemail. So somebody call in and leave one. And if you are an anti-masker and you're listening to this, I want to hear why. I am in the same boat as Jacob. I want you to give me a good, well-reasoned argument as to why, and not whatever crap you've been spewing about it's a violation of my rights. No, it's not.
Yeah, no, it's not. They're not even forcing you. They're just asking. They're asking you to wear a mask, because no one can force you to do anything outside of a gunpoint and a threat of arrest. But they certainly can ask you nicely when you're going into Harris Theater to put your stupid mask on. And if you don't do that, you're a dumb butt and you're mean and terrible. And I hate you. But I mean, hey, I don't have any strong feelings. Other than that, man, I don't have many. I just hope, if I have any hope for 2021, it's that first grade lets my son go to school and play on a playground and learn things with other kids in an environment that's built for him to grow and become independent in ways that he hasn't kind of been forced into. Not to say pushing a wet noodle is something we have to do, but you do feel sometimes like I'm always here, and mom's always here. And it's hard for mom and dad not to help when help is needed or asked for. So I need people who don't want to help him to be around to not help, because I only made it because people stopped helping me. I remember telling my mom once, well, I only ask you to do it because you're here. If you weren't here, I'd do it myself. That was like, I was like 14 or something at the time. And it's true. I could do it myself. It's just other people would do it for me. And that makes me sound like a dirtbag. But listen, I was 14. I was a dirtbag. If none of you were dirtbags at 14, raise your hand and you're a liar. Because you were probably stupid. Because we all were.
You're just, I mean, I was stupid all the way up until
I was stupid last way week. Past 14.
Yeah.
Past 14.
I just use that age to think you become more self-reflective in your journey as you age. And then you look back on the shamefulness of your teenage self and you're like, I was such a stupid head. That's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. But anyway, I just hope that works out and we can get there. And there's challenges put in place that have to be overcome without someone just running in to try to help smooth things out. I'm a smoother outer. I do it by nature. It's just a thing. Even in adult groups, when there's a problem, I'm like, let's just chill. Or I run away screaming because the anxiety of people fussing at each other messes me up. Just like, I'm either done here.
I've seen both.
I'm going to go home. Bye. I can't handle this right now. this has been a good reflective show, you guys. I've enjoyed the chats on the things. Do we have anything left that we want to cover before we get into the feedback? No.
Let's just hope 2021 is better than 2020.
Yeah. I mean,
let's just keep the upward trend, right? Things have gotten better. We have normalized a little bit more on things like masks. Let's just keep, working together. Let's try to do a better job of that. Like we're all dealing with all of this in some way or another. Let's try to make it easier on each of us and help each other out.
And I feel like 2020 was just such a jolt to the system that 2021 is going to be more of a, okay, let's come to a normalization of that jolt. And I feel like we're pretty much there, and hopefully it's more on the light at the end of focus is going to be more on the light at the end of the tunnel, which is what I'm really hoping happens. I'm hoping that people we'll see the best of people rather than the worst of people.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of the worst, I think, this year, and that I'm done with that. Like to see more, more helpers. As Mr. Rogers once famously said, I'd like to be able to look into the crowd of people and find the helpers and not just see everything on fire. That's a good way to end it. I'm going to read at least one tweet that we got from Oddly Normal One. Because before we went live, I tweeted, asked somebody to sum up the year for us and send us some tweets. So Oddly Normal One said, "You know, I've made some awesome achievements both professionally and personally, but overall I look back on the year and just find so much of it physically and emotionally exhausting. Mostly I'm just tired of people not caring about other people." Which is the theme today. We just want everybody to care a little bit more about each other. I was going to check and see if there was anything else. But no, that's the only tweet back that I got. But hey, you got that, and that's something. And if you want to send us more stuff, you can do so at staringatgoatspodcast@gmail.com. Jacob wants to read your emails, y'all. Don't let Jacob down. He's personally offended when he looks at an empty inbox. It gets him in his core every week. And we had no voicemails this week, which wounds Travis deeply.
It does. I want those voicemails.
Pick up your darn phone, use it for the one feature you never use it for, and call 231-486-5401. That's 231-486-5401. Put it in your phone right now. Save it as a contact. That way you can just click Travis's voicemail or Staring at Goats, and then you can just call us up and say things into the phone. It'll be wonderful. If you don't want us to use it, just be like, "I screwed that up. Don't use that one. I'll call back." We'll probably play it anyway. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this year. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I mean, in a weird way. I've enjoyed talking to you fine gentlemen every week about it. But it's been a ride for Staring at Goats, and I hope this show can end sometime 2021, and we can all make up something else fun to do with our Wednesday nights. Go back
Wouldn't
to
that
trivia.
Be great. Actually, that is what my goal for 2021, to never have to do this show again. Goal.
A good goal to have.
I'm with that. That's a good goal to have, that Staring at Goats can be put to pasture and we can come up with something new for Wednesday nights.
That's right.
What is the sign off metric? Like what do we see in the data or in the country that we can finally go done? Closing shop.
That is a great place to end, and we'll think about that for next week.
Not only will we think about it, we will ask people to send emails on where we should end this show. What should be the moment at which we say, "All right, guys, we're done."
Yeah, we're closing down shop.
Yeah, emails, tweets, voicemails. Let us know what you think that should be.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that plan. Yeah, let us in on it. And if you enjoy the show, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcasting service you use. We love those. They're great for us. Follow us on Twitter @staring_goats. Send us messages there, questions, whatever. That's a good place to do it. I'm Steve H&H. Travis is TV's Travis. Travis can also be found doing his own stuff over at twitch.tv/TV's Travis, where you'll find him playing Phasmophobia, as well as doing Wait You Haven't Seen. And Let's Talk About Highlander. Wait, what's it called? Let's Watch Highlander. I'm so good at this. And where you can talk about the episode, the seasons of Highlander. You guys are on season 2, as far as I know.
Next week will be the beginning of season 2. It's when the show gets good.
Gonna be good stuff. And thank you all to our patrons who help support the show. Hammer Dwarf, Og, Adam and Christina of Geekheim, Oddly Normal One, and our parents. We love you guys for keeping the lights on. If you want to help us, you can do so at twodorks.net/support. It's been an awesome year, and we'll see you guys next time on Staring at Goats.